for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Saturday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance and Teaching Meeting, September the 3rd, 2011. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service teaching on deliverance from sexual torment.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you because you are the deliverer. You're the healer. You're the Savior. You are all that we have need of. And we come here today and we submit ourselves to you to do whatever you would have done in us today. We commit ourselves to you. I cover each person with the blood of Jesus. I bind every hindering spirit, every blocking spirit, every religious spirit that would stop the truth from being known, that they might be made free. I bind every spirit from the enemy, every spirit from the kingdom of darkness. I bind every satanic attack, every witchcraft attack, a curse, in Jesus' name. And I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to be talking about something today that's not an easy thing to talk about. It is, I guess I'll just take this out since it's not in the middle. In the men's meetings, they get down to the nitty-gritty. Dr. Null used to take men to the nitty-gritty. Now Tom takes the men and deals with things concerning the nitty-gritty. The first time my husband came to Lake Hamilton, I said, well, how did you like the men's meeting? And he said, well, it was a little shocking. I said, really? He said, yeah, and you had to know Dr. Null. How many of y'all knew Dr. Null? Okay. He was a cute little man, and he wore his glasses like this. And he read like this, and he would look at you like this. And it was a serious look. My husband said he strolls out, never wore his shoes, just socks, strolls out, puts his hands in his pocket. How many of you have ever masturbated? Now, my husband is from a prim and proper family. My family is kind of all out there. But that was shocking to my husband. I said, well, did you raise your hand? He said, I couldn't move. But, you know, we tend to kind of think that this is a man's thing. And I was in a meeting one time, and the question was, I want you to think back to your earliest memory, your earliest memory. And I was horrified at my earliest memory because that was what my earliest memory was. As a very little child. And I was immediately ashamed, embarrassed. I wasn't going to share that. And so I was delivered of that by listening to a tape by Kim Daniels, and she was talking about our children, actually, teenage boys, and she started talking about this marine spirit named Loa. And I was beginning to learn about things, so it was very interesting to me, but she said this spirit is a marine spirit. It works through water. That's why you have to be careful with your young sons taking long showers. Because it's a seducing thing. Well, she didn't talk about it being a girl's deal. But I am like, that is it. That is it. Because forever I thought that the reason I did that was so, even though, I mean, I didn't think that when I was a little girl, I wasn't thinking this. Nobody taught me how to do that. Evidently, it was in me already. It was something that came down through the family bloodline. There was no molestation in my life, but I have suspected since then that there was some in my ancestors. And this is something that traveled down the bloodline. And I believe that molestation could have happened. There were times that I suspected it could have gone there had there not been an interruption. But nobody had to teach me how to do that. Because as David says in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." I wasn't illegitimate. But you see, after the fall in the garden, every person born after that was born in sin, and sin in them. So I was actually born in sin. Now, I had another memory. I was a couple of years older, and I was in the garage. I was over at the house of a family friend, and I don't remember anything that happened until the door opened. When the boy's mother opened the garage door, that's when the memory flooded in, because we were caught in the act. Now, I don't know if we knew there was anything wrong with what we were doing. We were too little. But you know, all little children at some time or other play doctor. But what he was doing, as I grew older and would think on this before I knew anything about demons, I thought to myself, he must have seen his mother and daddy doing that. Where would a little boy get an idea to do something like that? So I thought that he must have. And if I sat on a jury before I learned these things, and that was something that was brought before a jury, and let's say that somebody accused the daddy of molesting the little boy or the little girl, I would have in my heart believed that he was guilty of doing something, or those children would not be behaving that way. But since then, I would have to be very careful on a jury. Since I know these things that were in me that nobody did to me, I didn't see anybody do these things to me, but they were affecting my life. And that is the cruelty of the kingdom of darkness. You don't have to be a victim of something to suffer the consequences or the circumstances, the symptoms of something that you think would have to happen in order for those things to be present. Not so. Because in the Ten Commandments, it says that the sins of the fathers will be visited upon the third and the fourth generation. So, my first understanding was, well, Lord, that just does not seem fair for me to have the punishment of the sins that I didn't commit. But it's not the punishment. We don't suffer the punishment for that sin. We suffer the same sin. The same sin is repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated. And those are demons that follow bloodlines. Okay? So, then I started learning about deliverance. That Loa thing was a revelation to me, because I had been tormented by that masturbation thing for years and years and years. You know, it would always be, and I was raised in a Christian home. I guess when I got big enough to start feeling guilty about it, then it would be, Lord, I'm never going to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. It would make me feel so dirty and so guilty, and I didn't like that. So I would make a vow that I wasn't going to do that again. Maybe if I promise God that I won't do it again, it'll be a serious enough promise that I won't break it. But it was always, I'm never going to do that again. Until the next time. So it became a torment in my life. Then I thought, I rationalized that, well, when I get married, when I have a husband that satisfies me sexually, I won't need that anymore. So I thought when I got married, it would go away. But guess what? It didn't. It didn't. That was a shock. I got married. We have a great sex life. But he would go off to work, and sometime during the day, it. I mean, I could be taking a shower. I finally told him about it because he was my husband, and maybe he had an answer. Well, so I could be in the shower, and that's what caught my attention was this Loa, this water spirit. Because I could be showering. You know, you're washing your hair, and your eyes are closed because the soap is running, and I could be rinsing off. And sometimes I would have to just open my eyes like that because it felt like somebody was in the shower with me. Literally. I felt like hands were... It was like a seduction. And it would stir me sensually, sexually. And it would always end up there. And I hated it. I felt so guilty. I felt so out of control. And then it began to get kind of scary because I don't care how. It's almost like sometimes I wouldn't even realize that it happened until, just like being caught in the garage, until it was over. And then I would think, not again. So it became a torment in my life until that Loa thing. And I can show you on the dirt road. I live around a lot of dirt roads. Where I was driving when I heard that word and was delivered of that thing. So there's hope, ladies, for sexual torment. If you're experiencing sexual torment. Okay, I want to talk about a few other things. Open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 18. Because this is where these sexual torments come from in our ancestors. In verse 18, it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwell, shall ye not do." See, they learned some things in Egypt. Egypt was a godless nation. There was lots of sin in Egypt. It was kind of a, if it feels good, do it society. There were no laws governing righteousness. And God is saying to them, after the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan to which I bring you, shall ye not do. Because that was a godless place too. 18, Leviticus 18, 3. Now, I started in 1, I'm sorry. 18, that was 1 and 2 and part of 3. So he said, you just came out of Egypt. Leave what you saw and what they do in Egypt. Don't be a part of it. Don't be a partaker of those things. Neither in the land of Canaan, which I bring you to, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do mine ordinances and keep my statutes to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my ordinances, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, from 6, in 6 it says, none of you shall approach to any that is near akin to him to uncover their nakedness. That means don't have sex with them. Don't have sex. In 7, don't have sex with your father or your mother. Verse 8, if it's a stepmom, you don't have sex with her. In 9, you don't have sex with your sister. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father or daughter of thy mother. He makes it real clear. If your dad remarries, you don't have sex with her daughter either. He's very specific in this whole chapter, and it doesn't leave anyone out. It goes on to talk about aunts, grandchildren, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, in-laws, neighbors. In 19, it says, also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. You're to have no sex during your period. Verse 21, it says, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Molech was the god where they did child sacrifices. Literally, they passed them into the fire. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. He's talking about homosexuality here. Lesbianism, homosexuality, both. 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself. That's bestiality. Now there's something I would have never even thought of. But it must not have been in my bloodline, because if it had been, who knows? But I mean, you know, none of them is any worse than the other. So get it right now that the torment that Satan's been tormenting you with needs to be exposed and extricated. Because where you have your secrets is where he has his greatest power over your life. Your place of torture, your prison. It says, neither shall ye lie with any beast in 23 to defile theirself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Now that could be a route to confusion. We have a lot of confusion in the world. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore do I visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Down in 29, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Now let me ask you a question. I've been asking God a question. In the scripture, it says there is a sin that is not unto death. Pray for that one. But there is a sin that is unto death. I say, don't pray for that one. I've been asking God, so what is the sin unto death? Now, as I've been reading again in the Old Testament some of these things, there are many things that it says that if you are caught in this, or if you have done this, ye shall surely die. Could it be that some of our incurable diseases that have come into our bodies are a result of this bloodline curse coming down the bloodline? Another reason to shine the light of the Holy Ghost, that word of truth, the spirit of truth, on whatever is hidden in your life that could be causing trouble, causing your land to be defiled, causing confusion, causing torment. It's a serious thing. Okay, now I want to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Now, one time when I was teaching this, because here's some of the torments. Masturbation, promiscuity, whoredom, pornography, prostitution, homosexuality. Many, 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 many of these manifestations can be held in the root of these things. And a lady, I was talking about... Now, I don't know, this is one thing that can be happening that comes down the family line as well, or it could be a result of something that happened to you. If you may have an incubus spirit that is visiting you at night, or a succubus spirit. How many of you have never heard of incubus or succubus? Okay, let me explain what it is. It's an evil spirit, it's a demon, that takes on the form of a man or a woman and has sex with a man or a woman. A succubus, and you know, this is raw, but this is the way I have to remember it. An incubus, when a man has intercourse with a woman, he goes into her, right? So the male spirit is an incubus. Now the men, because they have been so exposed to perversion, but it's not only men, women have too. Now, pornography, addictions are as rampant in women as it is in men. Let me tell you that, y'all remind me to come back to the incubus and succubus, but I want to stop here and say this about pornography. I was ministering to a lady over the telephone, and many times, you know, the Word says that the Holy Ghost will give utterance. Sometimes things come out of my mouth that I didn't even know to say. And it's not a word of knowledge. Well, I guess it is a word of knowledge, but this woman had had an adulterous affair. And her sex life had never lived up to that sex that she had in adultery. And I said, do you want to know why that is? Because Satan blessed it. It is that the same, that forbidden fruit, that thing that you are not supposed to have, is going to be the best because Satan blesses it with his blessing. And because they've never really experiencing the blessings of God in their sex life, because a lot of us don't even know that God's involved in our sex lives. It is an anointed time between a husband and a wife. It is a blessed, but a blessed and anointed thing by God that Satan, in his realm, also blesses and anoints for evil. But because it was adultery, it was blessed by Satan, and she was deceived, she was beguiled to think that that was better sex than she ever had with her husband. That's the deception. And pornography for a man. When a man is watching pornography, for the purpose of being sexually aroused, and then participates with whatever's going on the screen, Satan's right there to make that sex better than he could have with his wife. Satan does that. That's why. And they say that scientists, doctors say that it has the same effect in the brain as cocaine. Now, I've never done cocaine, but I've heard that if you do cocaine, the very first time it is so good that you keep doing it, but you never have that good thing that happened the first time. That's the same way it is with, that's the same effect on the brain that pornography has. That's the perversion that Satan is so perverted. And he has perverted the act that God created to be shared between a husband and a wife only. He has taken it and sprinkled it all over the place, between co-workers and neighbors and teenagers. And he's just perverted that thing that God gave as a blessing to a husband and a wife. Dr. Null made the statement once that when you engage in any kind of illicit, illegal sexual acts from the kingdom of darkness that is not ordained by God, all the sexual demons come and have an orgy right over your bed, right over where you are. Now, that's a scary thought. They join in. Actually, you don't know it, but you've joined in with a spiritual orgy, and all those spirits have come in. It's dangerous. So there are ways that these things have come. They come in generationally inherited through the bloodline. They come in through pornography. They come in through romance novels? I tell you, those romance novels get pretty explicit. You read it and you're watching porno in your mind. It can come in through rape, molestation, incest, and you may be visited by a sexual demon, an incubus or a succubus. The incubus. Now, used to I would say an incubus comes to a woman, has sex with her because he comes into her, and the succubus, I mean, if you know men and the perversion that they are introduced to as very young, actually it's probably in their bloodline. If the daddy sat around and looked at Playboy or any of those magazines or watched porno, this is where our kids are being educated for their sexual education. And it is an abomination because then they get married or get married. They, with their little neighbor friends, with their girlfriends, whoever, they start engaging in these things that they've seen. They expect their wives to do these things. And it's causing damage in marriages, husbands and wives. Even children, men start looking at kiddie porn, and the next thing you know, they're a pedophile. It just stirs up an appetite. That demon comes in. And, you know, as you watch these things, you've opened a door. Now, if something flashes up, and, I mean, that is an image that is hard to get out of your mind. But some people will be captured by that image and click over here and let's see what's over here and click here. And before you know it, they're hooked. Because if you stay with it, my uncle Ernie Marzullo used to say, the first look won't hurt you, the second look will cost you. So when they begin to be curious about these things and start looking at it, then that spirit comes into the body. And it may not do anything to them for a while, but after a while, that demon will rise up. It gets hungry, it wants to be satisfied, and it'll rear up and have its way with you. That's why deliverance is so needed. You know, we have churches full of people who are hooked on all these things and involved in all this stuff and in bondage to all kinds of sexual torments. And because it's a shameful thing, they can't tell anybody, they can't trust anybody with it. So they just stay in their torment. And there are many, many pastors that have problems with pornography. And what they don't know, you know, that everybody thinks that their secret thing is a secret thing. But what is in the head is going to be in the body. And if there is somebody standing behind a pulpit that is full of pornography and drug use in their secret places, well, what do you think is being projected? They may not be saying it or telling you to do it, but the spirit is going out there and getting in the people. It's a proven fact that a church who has a pastor who gets a divorce, you're going to start seeing divorce, 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 divorce in the church. Because it's a spirit. So this is a hard thing. But I'm praying that if you have any of these torments, we can deal with them today and stop the madness. Stop the madness. Now, the succubus, men like oral sex. So the way I remember it is the action of sucking, that's the spirit that takes on the form of a female, or it really could even be a male spirit too. Because now there's homosexuality. There's always been homosexuality. I just haven't, you know, got that connection. But there's anal sex. So it could be an incubus visiting a man. You know, I just remembered this. When I was a teenage girl, I would have dreams about my best girlfriend. And it used to torment me. At that time of my life, I did not even know that there was such a thing as homosexuality. So that was really disturbing to me, to be having a dream sexual about another girl. I would wake up and just be irked by it. But if I had known that there was such a thing as homosexuality, I might have thought, maybe I'm bisexual. And then you go to the schools nowadays and they say, well, honey, explore it. You might be bisexual. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, that's where our world is. We're in a sad state of affairs. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. The television shows on TV, they make jokes about these things. And those spirits are just being released into your house. It makes me nervous to know that a person leaves their TV on all day, because you don't know what's being released in your house. There's so much of it on television these days. I wrote a book. Never been published. I wrote a book in 1988. And at that time, I said that there is coming a time when we will have to make the decision to turn the television off or get it out of the house. And we're here. And it's not done yet. Before long, there will actually be pornography. Not on pay-per-view, free TV. It's coming. Get ready. It's coming. And I don't think it's too far off. They've already stopped bleeping out. I mean, you know, you can hardly watch some of these shows that are propagating lack of self-control, fighting, backbiting, violence. Those shows, our young people are feasting on these shows. Housewives of some county, I don't know what those shows are. I can't stand them. I cannot stand to hear people bicker. They're in each other's face, and it's just good grief. Who could entertain themselves with that mess? I have enough things in my life without watching TV for it. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, a lot of young people are losing their lives to erotic asphyxiation. She said that's where somebody told them that if you, Playboy magazine gave instructions, kind of like Harry Potter's is giving witchcraft instructions. That if you cut off your oxygen while you're masturbating, and then right before you pass out, you let go of the belt. Some children, they called it suicide, but it was a tragic asphyxiation. But anyway, there's more things. I mean, there is stuff that we could not even imagine being done to their own selves and to others and to each other and groups, and it's just too much. But anyway, so if you're having visitations at night, see, I believe that's what causes men to have wet dreams. You know, we were just taught that happens to all young men. You know, they're so sexual and so full of testosterone that, yeah. But women have them too. Women have orgasms in their sleep, and they think that it's just a dream. It could be an incubus spirit or a succubus spirit, a sexual demon that is visiting. And so, if you're being tormented by that, we want to take care of that today. There's like some children that were raised in satanic churches and parents that have been in satanic churches and witchcraft, and they will use the children in certain ceremonies, sexual ceremonies. And children that are molested as children, little children, and they'll have these visitations and torments. And they may have the molestation dealt with, but then the tormenting sexual thing still goes on, and they're visited by it. And I'll never forget praying for a lady one time, and she was so tormented, and I began to ask the Lord, "What is it, Lord? What is it that she can never seem to get free from?" It was painful to watch her stay in that place all the time. And I was praying for her one day, and I heard it. Spirit of the Bride of Satan. Now, I had read a booklet years, probably 4 or 5 years before this, but I didn't really understand it. But when God brought it to me, and then I prayed it for her, which was pretty eventful, she just kind of immediately went catatonic and fell. And I thought she was dead. And when I turned her over, she wasn't breathing, and I couldn't turn her over. She was like nailed to the ground, like she was a concrete statue that weighed so much I couldn't budge her. But when we turned her over, I got help, and we turned her over, and she was not breathing. So I knew Satan was trying to kill her. So I bound the spirit of death and commanded breath into her in the name of Jesus, and she took a gasp, but she was still catatonic. And I didn't think, you know, it was very nervous for me because I didn't know that she might have gone to a place that I couldn't bring her back from. I didn't know what to do. But at some point, I just saw her as like this little five-year-old wounded child. So I sat down and just pulled her over on me and started to rock her, and she began to cry and talk to me in a voice like a little five-year-old, and told me, she said she wanted to tell me a secret, and she said that the mean man comes and lays her on the bed and covers her face with a pillow. And that's when I knew that she had been molested or raped as a child, and it happened more than once. And so the spirit of the bride of Satan works like this. When something happens to, when someone is violated sexually, I'll put it that way. But this can also come down generationally. Satan claims them for his own. Could be a reason why women can't get pregnant. Because he stops the seed from planting in the woman. Or she may be barren, or the man may be barren. And it could be caused by the spirit of the bride of Satan. It's a very serious demon, and but God's power is greater than any demon, and I'm careful to be covered whenever I teach this, because the very first time I taught it, the enemy came against me severely, even while I was teaching it. The last 15 or 20 minutes I was like this, because it was about 4 years ago, and I thought that I had been bitten by a brown recluse spider. But it was, you know, Satan comes up behind us and says, "He will bruise our heel." He got me right on the rear end in two places. And I mean, I was very sick for about a month. I lost 20 pounds. I had 104 temperature for about 4 or 5 days. I didn't even know where I was. It was bad. And I didn't go to the hospital. It was really funny that never even... Somebody said, "I can't believe you didn't go to the hospital." Mike and I looked at each other, and I said, "I never thought about it, did you?" He said, "No." But, you know, that's just where we are. We haven't had health insurance since 1988, and so we learned to trust God. And he saved me from death. I believe it was a witchcraft curse from somebody. You know, because Satan assigns witches to come. That's why I pray that prayer. I'm going to cover myself and bind those witches so their power cannot operate. He doesn't want this information to go out because he's going to lose some wives today. He's going to lose some wives. Okay? You know that there are some other manifestations. Now, these all were shown to me through the story of Tamar, which God gave me. It was an answer to another question. I'm always asking the Lord questions because he's got all the answers. And I would notice when I would go to meetings that there would be lots of single women. Lots of single women that wanted to be married, could never find a husband. Or they had been in a marriage and it was bad and left the marriage and never had another husband. Their lives were filled with poverty and struggle and all kinds of things. And I began to ask the Lord, what is that, Lord? What is it? And he showed it to me one day in 2 Samuel 13. This is the story of Tamar. And Jerry talked about some of this the other day. You know, Tamar was raped by her half-brother. And I had evidently read the story before because I just laid my Bible open to begin to study something, and this was circled in verse 20 in my Bible. It was the only thing circled on those two pages. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. And I thought, wait a minute. There's something here. And I began to read the story of Tamar. Now, we're not going to go all through the story for time's sake because I do want to get to the deliverance part. But I will just tell you that in that, when you do a word study on the word desolation and also some other, you know, he forced her, that's right. It said that he loved her with a love that was making him sick. He thought it hard to do anything to her because he knew he wasn't supposed to. Then he plotted to get her off by herself, and then he raped her. Then he hated her, and he threw her out. He said in verse 17, he said to the servant, put now this out from me. Put this out. Didn't even call her by name. That's how he felt after he had his way with her. Get it out of my sight. And you can hear it says, and bolt the door after her. You can just hear it slam shut and that lock slammed into place. And she's thrown out, violated, wounded, in pain. And it says, see, the daughters of the kings wore these garments, and we have a spiritual garment. We have a spiritual garment. On the virgins, they have a spiritual garment. On those that have been raped or molested, the garment is rent. Because after she was raped, she no longer was a virgin. She no longer, in her mind, she felt unworthy of the beautiful garment that the virgins wore. She tore it in anguish. She put ashes on her head. She was in mourning because she lost something very dear. That was the gift that belonged to her husband. Only her husband. And it was taken from her by force. So she put ashes on her head. And then it says that her brother Absalom, who knew about it, he says, just be quiet. Don't tell anybody about it. That's betrayal. She thought surely Absalom, her brother, her full brother, would come to her rescue, fight for her honor. No, he's your brother now. Keep this quiet. Does that not happen in families? Hey, that was your brother. You don't say anything about it. Well, what about her? It could even be a little boy. The brother violates the little brother. Well, that's your brother. Don't say anything about it. They'll put him in jail. It's a horrible, horrible violation. Not to mention the broken trust. Not to mention the betrayal. Not to mention being all alone in it. All alone. So there's a lot of manifestations that go along with being raped, with being molested, with being incested. And here's the thing. None of that was done to me, but I had these in my life because it was in my bloodline. I had some of these manifestations on my life, working in my life. So everything God ever shows me, it's for me first. It's accomplished, as Kyle said, and I want it accomplished in you. So here are some of the manifestations. Shock, trauma, astonishment, stupor. Now, some of these words are from the definition of desolation. Astonishment is a definition, one of the words to define desolation. So you look up astonishment and you get some of these other words. So there's stupor. See, it could be causing some sort of mental problems, having learning disabilities, dullness, sickness, you know, being thick-headed, indifference. You just kind of become lethargic, emotionless, no joy, just kind of robotic, going through the motions with no emotion. Lethargic, tired all the time, forgetfulness, sluggishness of the mind or the body, just being tired in your body all the time. You ever just looked at somebody and you just knew they were just tired because of their posture? Melancholy. There's a sadness that just doesn't seem to ever go away. They're dismal, despondent, discouraged all the time, disheartened, confusion, grief, sadness, loneliness, desolate. They operate in secretiveness because they don't want anybody to know. Isolation, because if you get too close to people, you begin to share intimate details. So you got to keep a distance. You don't want to let anybody get too close to you. Depression, oppression, death wishes, suicide, self-hatred, false guilt. See, I'm sure Tamar felt guilty, and she didn't even do anything. It was done to her. But there are some who put the guilt on the one that it was done to. Not where it really should be. Shame, self-destruction. Self-destructive behavior. It's where cutting themselves. Piercing. You know, bunch of piercings. They just pierce, 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 pierce because the pain somehow relieves the pain that they feel from what they've suffered and what they're going through. So, or they may starve themselves to death. Causes eating disorders. Or they may self-destruct by eating themselves to death. Even Oprah said that. Oprah. There was a book that came out. Don't read it. But in the book, I'm not going to tell you what it is. But in the book, you know, it's like an analogy. And in the book, God presents himself as a large black woman. Somebody told me that. And I said, "What is Oprah?" Because, I mean, she has almost become a god. And Lord, I just lift her up. Lord, I'm asking you to open her eyes and turn them from darkness to light and her life from the power of Satan unto you. Because, Lord, she talks about you. She claims that she is yours, Jesus. And she is an accomplished woman, such a successful woman. She's come from nowhere to be this giant mogul, and she could be such a role model for young black women, and yet she won't marry the man that she loves. My heart goes out because so many young black women look up to her, and yet there are some places that are not good for young women to emulate. But I love Oprah. I would like to see her on our side all the way. All the way. There's a mixture there. And there is a mixture in many churches. Well, that's another lesson. Okay, eating disorders, bulimia, anorexia. You know, they lose their worth. You know, bless Tamar's heart, she's never mentioned again. That was the end of her. So Tamar remained, never came out of it, remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now, there's no need for you to remain desolate. The blood of Jesus. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins, and it may not even have been a willful thing, be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what he's offering you today. Bondages to alcohol, addictions to drugs, alcohol, food, fantasy, TV, shopping, gambling. There's any number of bondages that people go into to anesthetize their pain, to escape their torment. Fantasy. Multiple personalities can be caused by this. Because what happens when a child or even a grown person, if something begins to happen that is so incomprehensible, is that the right word? The mind has to split away from reality and it goes to another place. And so you have this other personality. It can be a cause of schizophrenia, insanity, delusion, arrested development. And this is very prominent in children that this has happened to. Because what happens, and it can even be generationally inherited. Because whoever it happened to, there was an arrest in their development, and then there is a spirit of arrested development that follows the bloodline. I call those familiar spirits. Now, there's a different description of familiar spirits. Like when, was it Saul who called up Samuel? Okay. I'm not so sure that was a familiar spirit type thing. But it says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, or actually, oh Lord, I don't know where that is. Where does it say something about if anyone have a familiar spirit? I think I saw it today when I was looking for that other scripture. But anyway, there is a mention of familiar spirits. If anyone hath a familiar spirit, and I can't remember if they were to be put to death or what their punishment was to be. But when, to me, the way I understand familiar spirits is, I'll just use my own example. I had familiar spirits of masturbation. That was a familiar spirit that was on me. There was also other sexual things that were on me. And that's why when the little boy and I got together, he also had a familiar spirit of sexual stuff. And that's what many times draws us together with people. You ever heard that old saying, birds of a feather flock together? 1931. Thank you, Jane. Leviticus 19:31. Let me just read that. Well, we'll see. Yes. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. See, these familiar spirits, like when you go to have your palm read, that's what's in operation there. Or your palm. Yeah, psychics, seances. Yeah, that's what's working there. Because the way that really works, and even these people, like mind readers, they, like I could say, I'm a mind reader, and say, okay, take out your, lady, whoever you are, take out your, driver's license, and then the person sitting next to her is going to be a witness. You look at her driver's license number. I'm going to tell you what her driver's license number is. Now, there's her familiar spirit is right there with her. A familiar spirit that has followed her around in her life. And then the mind reader has a familiar spirit here. And the spirits talk to each other. And that spirit says, 071. And the man starts reading it, and everybody's like, oh! And the lady's going. And the whole crowd is ready to follow this guy anywhere. And magicians, you know that David, no, not him, maybe him, I don't know, but there's a new one out. David Blaine. That man is a warlock. He levitates, and that is totally from the kingdom of darkness. And yet they wow people with it. They wow people with it. His show is on TV sometimes, that guy. You know, I mean, here's why he can put himself, be frozen in a block of ice. Who wants to do that anyway? But anyway, he froze himself in a block of ice for days, something like 4 days. And I told my husband, I said, Mike, he has astral projected out of that body. That's why he doesn't feel anything. He's not there. He's astral projected. He's over standing by a heater somewhere while his body is frozen in that ice. And we think, wow. No, that's all from the kingdom of darkness. Every bit of that stuff in Harry Potter and the Twilight myth, every bit of that is from the pit of hell. And our children, even our Christian children, are entertaining themselves with this stuff. And I told y'all the other day, because there was a manifestation, there's going to start, these demons are going to start manifesting themselves to the children that have been involved in this stuff. And the parents aren't going to know what to do with it.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.